Everyone, again, thank you so much for coming. I don't know about you, but that song is so solemn. It always touches me, and it just brings into perspective the gospel meeting and what is really at stake. It's really a meeting between of life and death, eternal life and eternal death. Very solemn. And tonight we want to bring this out, how solemn it is if you are yet outside of Christ, if you are not yet saved, if you're not yet born again, and tonight may this be the time when you recognize how serious this really is and how God is a God of grace, and yet it is a time, a message that is not going to be around forever. Because if you pass from this day into eternity without Christ, it is a horrible thing. And I think that song brought that out. Can you turn with me to Romans 6, please? Romans chapter 6. A very well-known verse, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I read it one more time. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here we have a verse that perfectly explains the gospel. And we have a few verses like this in the Bible where it is really the gospel in a verse. We have that with John 3:16, the verse that I got saved by. John 3 and verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you and me, believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And in the gospel, we have initially the bad news, or what we would consider very bad news, with it really diagnoses our problem before God. And then we have the good news of what God has done about it. And God made the initiative. God made the first move to bring people back to himself, to bring humanity, mankind, who are lost in sin, back to himself. Another wonderful verse that I love that is a gospel in a verse is in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have everyone turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The gospel in a verse. We find there man's problem in God's remedy. And here we have another one. And here we have the problem. We'll talk about that first. For the wages of sin is death. I was just at the X the past week and had wonderful conversations with quite a lot of people. And from all different backgrounds and religions. And one thing that was consistent, it does not matter which background or religion, is people did recognize that they had sinned. Every single person, not one of them that I talked to, in all my years, I believe, has said that they have never sinned. So sin is a real problem. And in the gospel we have, this is the what we really want people to recognize, is that they have a problem. First and foremost, they have a problem. We all have a problem. And it is what we were born with. The scripture says we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So we have a problem that is very deep, and we come and here is really what the problem, where the problem lies, in front of each other, when we match ourselves up with our fellow man, we might sound pretty righteous and pretty good. But when we come before a holy God, Scripture calls him a holy God. We think of Isaiah, where we read there that he is holy, holy, holy. Three times, thrice holy. In Revelations, you read that again. He is holy, holy, holy. And so when we recognize this God as being a holy God, we realize that, wait a second, sin is a problem indeed before such a holy God. And we find that at the very start, when God made mankind, Adam and Eve, and he put them into a garden of Eden. And we read it was a very pleasant, amiable place. And Adam and Eve, I believe, would walk in the garden in the cool of the day. God would walk with them and talk with them. And God would have fellowship with his creation. He loves people. God loves this world. He loves people. And God is a relational God. And he loved to have fellowship with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, a very pleasant place. And at this point, Adam and Eve were innocent. They were in a state of innocence. They had not yet sinned. So God was able to have fellowship with them. Being a holy God, he was still able to have fellowship with them. But we all know the story very well. What happened? God gave them a commandment. And only one commandment God gave them. Of all the trees in the Garden of Eden, they can freely eat. But the one tree in the middle of the garden, God says, thou shalt not eat thereof. The day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. I mean, that's a very solemn statement. The day that you disobey what I say, God says, the day that you eat of this, and I told you not to eat of it, the day you disobey, you shall surely die. And that is really actually what happened. What happened? Adam and Eve were tempted, and the devil came along like a snake. He wasn't slithering yet, but he was some kind of reptile. And he came along in the form of a snake, and he asked them, has God really said this? And he created doubt in their mind, and he deceived Eve. And she took of that fruit in the middle of the garden, and she gave it to her husband Adam. And he knew, New Testament says, he was not deceived. He willingly disobeyed God. And what do we read in Romans? By one man, sin entered into the world, and death. In the New Testament, exactly what God says, thou shalt surely die. It says, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So we have this decree from God going out to the whole world. All have sinned. And that includes you and me tonight, dear friend. And God did the same thing to us. It wasn't just with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He gave them one law, or one commandment, if you will. But with us, he gave us 10 commandments. And God says, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not take God's name in vain. And we hear that almost every day at the job sites, wherever you may work or live, you hear God's name being taken in vain as a swear word. And people just do it without even knowing. And so on. And all of us would have to recognize, if we're honest, that we have broken God's law. The Lord Jesus Christ goes even further than this. He says that if you look with desire at somebody, you have committed adultery in your heart. So it goes right to the thought life, to the heart, something that we don't actually even do with our hands, but something that we think and our heart is affected. He says, if you hate your brother, if you hate anybody, you've really committed in God's, this is God's holy standard, you've actually committed murder in your heart. So we recognize, wait a second, I am really guilty. Just like the Lord, just like it says there in Romans 3, it says, the law is the knowledge of sin. And it says that the whole world, every mouth will be stopped, and the whole world will become guilty before God. And what do we find here in this verse? It says this, for the wages of sin is death. And so what we work for, all the sin that we do day by day, it gets stored up, and it leads to death. And even one sin, we're actually not fit to come into God's holy heaven. And we all recognize we have sinned many times. And one sin, as Adam and Eve, was a perfect example. They were put forth, separated from God, put forth out of the Garden of Eden. And there was cherubim put there with flaming swords to guard the way to God, really. And so mankind was, at that moment when they sinned, they were really in a place of death because they were separated from God. So spiritual death. But also, it also contributed to physical death. And from that day on, their bodies started to fail and to go into a law of entropy. So really, that's what happened. And it decays, and you bring forth death, and everybody who sins dies, spiritually and physically. So that is a serious problem, my dear friend. If you haven't recognized yet that you are a sinner before a holy God, that you are not right, if you are not saved, that you are not right before a holy God, please recognize this, that you're actually, what the Bible actually says in John 3, at the end of John 3, I believe it's 36, it says, he that has the Son has life, but he that has not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So the anger of God abides upon those who reject Christ and remain in their sins. Very serious. And when somebody dies without Christ, the wrath of God comes upon them, and they're separated from God forever in a place called hell. It's a very uncomfortable thing to talk about, for sure for me. I don't really like talking about hell. And yesterday, I remember 2 days ago when I was at the X, and one of these ladies was from a specific religious background. She said that in their church, they never talked about hell because it was very taboo and so on. And I had to recognize and share with her, Scripture does talk about it. The Bible is very clear about it. And that's therefore we have to talk about it. We have to mention it to you, dear friend, that sin leads to a lost eternity from God in a place called hell. But, and here's a very big, we'll talk about this now. But the gift of God, here we have it, verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice what it does not say. It does not say it is through anything else, like a religion, or baptism, or by being a good person, doing good works. It does not say anything of that. Whereas most religions, that's what they focus on, is what we do, how we can atone maybe for our sins by our own good works, and living a somewhat, trying to live a righteous life. Notice how none of those things that we do can get rid of one sin, and we have many sins before a holy God. And that is really the problem that we have. We cannot get into God's heaven because He is holy with our sins. But God did something amazing about this. And I read a verse earlier. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten, His only beloved Son. The Bible calls Him His dear Son, the Son of His love. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave His Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ says in John, He has sent to be the Father, sent the Son. Why? To be the Savior of the world. And we'll talk about what happened at the cross that is so significant to you and to me. You might be wondering, why do Christians always talk about the cross and about Christ on a cross? It sounds so gruesome. Well, if we read what God says about it, it is the most precious place in the world. It is where our eternal needs are met. If we ever want to be in heaven, this great work at the cross had to happen. It was an absolute must. Otherwise, we would all be damned forever in a place called hell. And God did something so amazing. And He sent forth His very best from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and He was truly God. He came from the one we read in Micah, for example, in the Old Testament. The one it says, O thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, but out of you shall He come forth unto me, whose goings forth are from everlasting. So He's the one who's going to come out of Bethlehem is eternal God. And we read further in Isaiah, He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Almighty God. He is the one that came forth to meet our need. God says, you have sinned against me. You are from the head down to the very feet, to the toe. You are full of putrefying sores and sin. You have a real problem, but I love you. And here we find it in the gospel. We see another aspect of God's heart and His character. He is not only a holy God, but He is also a God of love. We read in John, 1 John, it says, God is love. God is love. So we find in the gospel God showing forth His character of love, which He didn't show as much to Adam and Eve yet. He cast them forth from His presence. But now in the cross we have Christ coming down and God saying, I will manifest, I will show forth, I will demonstrate my love. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what happened there at the cross that is so significant? Well, my dear friend, what happened there is nothing less than amazing. It's so precious to us as Christians. What we read in Scripture is that He took our place. He was the substitute. So we have sinned against God, but here we find God's gift. He says, I will give you my Son, and He is holy, He is harmless, He is undefiled, He is separate from sinners, He is completely unique, and He is the one who came into this earth in a different way than all of us were born. He came, He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. No sin ever marred His person. He was perfect. We could read in Scripture that He was without sin. In Him is no sin, Scripture says. He knew no sin. And He would touch a leper and he would not be defiled. He was completely unique, and he showed his love towards people. And when he came and he saw the multitudes, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he longed to speak to them and to feed them. And he had a heart of compassion. We find in this key, he was different than the norm. And we find him here, this man who was so precious and wonderful and unique, the very Son of God, we find him on the cross. And now, what happened there on the cross that is so significant? And this is something I was always told back where I was from the religion that I grew up in, what men did to him, and how horribly they treated the Lord Jesus Christ. How they would beat him with lashes and with a scourge, and they would tear open his back. And scripture says his back was as a plowed field. And they would put a crown of thorns upon his head, and they would beat it into his head. I mean, the pain and the agony related to the cross was so inhumane and horrible. And they would do even more. They would spit into his face. They would take his clothes from him. He was half naked, a shameful thing. And they would raise him up between heaven and earth, the very Son of God, God coming to rescue humanity. And here we find him on a cross. And yet, this was God's plan. It was foretold in the Psalms, for example, Psalm 22. The very things that the Lord Jesus said on the cross was foretold. And we find there, we see him suffering not only at the hands of wicked men like us, but we find him there being made sin for us. And what does that mean? Well, God in heaven would, we read from 12 o'clock in the afternoon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was darkness over the whole land. And notice this, in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, it says, the sun itself was darkened. This wasn't just an eclipse. The sun was darkened. And there was a supernatural darkness, and men could not peer into that darkness. They probably didn't even see the Lord Jesus Christ in those 3 dark hours. And out of the darkness, we hear a cry that's gone through eternity. My God, why have you forsaken me? And I want to ask you this question tonight. Why was Christ forsaken? Why was he there? What is significant about this cry even? What is significant? Well, scripture says this. When you read further in Psalm 22, a messianic psalm, he continues that prayer and it says, but you are holy. Because God is holy, he had to forsake Christ and he had to punish Christ for our sins. We sometimes sing a hymn, on him almighty vengeance fell that must have sank a world to hell. On him judgment from God would come down upon him. And we read in scripture, it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my equal, my fellow. So God's sword of divine judgment would fall on Christ. And there he was, the sin bearer, taking our sin upon himself. So really, what the gospel is all about is this. We have broken God's law. We are guilty, and the Lord Jesus Christ paid our fine in full. He paid the debt. And the Christian boast is this. I don't have to die and go to hell for my sins. Do you know why? Because he did it all. He paid it all. It's gone. Washed. We read in Revelations, it says, now unto him who washed us from our sins in his own blood. And where did this happen? At the cross. At the cross of Christ. Our eternal destiny hinges on what we do now with the cross. Because Christ died, and he was, and he says this at the end of this three dark hours, this most precious saying of Christ from the cross, this cry, it says this, another cry, it is finished. There's nothing for you and I anymore now to do. The work of salvation is done. And Christ did it all. And you will be saved. If you see this, I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. He took away all my sin. If you believe this, you will be saved, according to Scripture. And that is really the gospel. So he says, for the wages of sin is death. But here we have God's love, his heart, saying to humanity, I want to give you a gift. It is not something that you paid for. It is something that I paid for. And it is free to you. The gift of God is eternal life. Life, eternal life. What is eternal life, you might ask? Well, it is not only going to be in heaven forever with Christ and with God, but it is also a relationship with God that starts at the moment of salvation, going off into eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. So we have here a gift of God is eternal life. Through what? Through a person. And this person who was at the cross, and I have to mention also, after 3 days, he rose again. And today, we are sharing with you a risen, glorified, seated at the right hand of God, Lord Jesus Christ. He is able, he is willing to save. And because he was raised from the dead, God showed he accepted Christ, everything that Jesus did. He accepted everything he did by raising him from the dead. And he is seated at God's right hand, willing to save. And he is the gift of God. It's Christ. And my dear friend tonight, may you recognize that you cannot be saved by anything of yourself. Then why did Jesus die? If you can be saved by anything that you do, then why did Jesus die? Why did God give his son? I want you to answer this question in your heart. If it is something that we can do, then why would God go through such lengths to give his well-beloved son to die on a death of the cross? We read in Philippians 2 that he came so low, even the death of the cross. God on the cross. Think about this. That's how God loves us. That's how God wants to have a relationship that was lost in Adam. And he loves people and he wants to have a relationship. And the only way that relationship can begin again is if our sins are removed through the cross, through Christ alone. So tonight, I want to share that with you. I'll close here soon now, but I just want to share with you that what the scriptures say, how do we come into the good of this? Well, it says this, and I'll mention that verse one more time, because that is the verse that I got saved by, is John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now listen to this, that whosoever, that's you and me, believes in him, trusts in him alone, alone shall never perish, but shall have everlasting life, present possession, everlasting life.